how to bring in our next guest. This is a live one because, you know, there were only a handful of us that worked for the Stallions that actually, like, lived in Salt Lake.
You all survived and stuck around?
Well, you know,
just kidding.
Well, I mean, this is home for me. Sure. This is home for her. I'm talking about our old marketing manager, Elizabeth Osmolowski.
Thank you.
Yes. So happy to have you.
Thank you. Even though you called me old. No, I'm just kidding.
Did I call you old?
You said old.
No, old I don't. Marketing manager.
Old. Our previous marketing VP manager. My bad.
Let's not call me old. I'm just kidding. I'm just giving her a hard time.
That's okay.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Like Michelle said, a lot of the ones we've done so far talking about, we're calling this like a series, like retrospective on the Stallions. Well, most of them are out of state, all over the country now, but it's cool to have you still here.
Well, I mean, in you guys' defense, you know, that was all the football operations side
of it.
And players. And, like, I feel a little, being the first front office and business person of, I'm not as cool as those guys who were on before.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Because actually, I think we talk a lot about the failures of the Alliance of American Football.
Do you know?
I mean, they're numerous, and we could spend forever talking about that. But I think one of the things they got right was celebrating women in sports and giving a bunch of us opportunities. I'm pretty sure you were one of the only female marketing managers.
No, there were two others. Atlanta had one, and San Antonio did.
And I'm pretty sure I was one of the only female coaching assistants, if not the only one. Our reporter, our team reporter, Chantel, was the only female reporter.
Yeah,
the rest of
I
them were
that.
Male.
Yep.
So, I mean, some just really, really cool opportunities. And our team especially, I think, had women in key places, key spots.
I would agree with that, definitely.
Now, the interesting part about that was, I remember I was covering the team. I was all geeked out the fact that I had professional football in this market, so I was all in on it. But the fun part about it was, to your point, we're starting to see women get into more spots in professional football, and that I'm talking across USFL. Well, it's now with UFL.
Yeah,
we've got to
get
that
right.
Formerly XFL and USFL. But also, it's also getting into the NFL now as well. We're starting to see female assistant coaches, front office executives. There was a woman that was up for a GM job this current offseason. I don't think she got it, but the fact they're even being mentioned in these circles, I think that's one of the legacies of the Alliance, is that they were willing to take that leap of faith.
Right, and there were definitely coaches and trainers, female coaches and trainers within the Alliance. And
sure.
Dr. Jen Walter, you know, still doing that now. And definitely, there were a few. Where do we want to start?
I know. Where do we want to start? Seriously. You know, how did you get involved with, how did you find out about the Stallions? How did you end up getting the job that you got?
Okay, great question. And I'll have to obviously jog my memory because 5 years does feel like a long time, especially with COVID since then.
I know.
Right?
That just
infinitely stretches
it's
out
like,
the time.
Well, that's the thing. It feels like it's been 15 years in so many ways, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in 2018, I've been in marketing, like digital marketing specifically, my entire career.
Okay.
I also, earlier in my career, I did action sports journalism. So, like, that's really the only sports background I completely had, and just outdoor recreation, nothing really professional, other than covering some Olympics stuff from afar. And that was 2002 era, so the Olympics were here in Salt Lake. And I was living in New England. And in 2004, I came out for a visit for the first time to Salt Lake and moved here. Right after the Olympics, I moved here in 2004. So that's kind of like the quick background on me. But in 2018, I'd been with this digital company for a good 10 years. I was just looking for a change. And I really am attracted to the intersection of media, sports, business, and brand marketing, and entertainment, right? So I was specifically looking in that lane, and I was really realistically going to move out of state right before the Stallions came about. So it was just kind of happenstance. Like we had like ripped out our basement to remodel it like 4 months before the job came along, you know? And it pretty much changed the trajectory because we were told by the Alliance that we had 3 years of funding.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were going to like move up to the Portland area, and my husband was going to start work in the cider industry in the Portland. And that's only relevant because We'll come back to it later.
Yes. We'll get to that in a moment here.
We'll get to that in a moment. So yeah, it changed the trajectory when I got this job. I mean, I don't even remember. I was doing obviously all these job searches in the sports media world. And I don't even remember how it came about, but it all happened very quickly in September of 2018. Mm-hmm. And I met the president, Tyler Howell, and met with Rich Merbrook, a couple other people kind of on the broader Alliance side. And you know, it just happened so fast. And I had to wrap up my last conference that I produced for my digital company the first week of October. So I started literally the next week, the second week of October. So what's crazy about that story, too, is just that I was the last VP of marketing hired. So in context of the Alliance, okay, and specifically the challenges we faced here, you know, in terms of getting the word out and having a plan, I was 3 to 4 months behind the rest of my marketing.
Oh, wow.
Peers, right. And that is just a tough time with the holidays. It was like an election year too.
Yeah.
So just buying advertising at a premium rate during that time is a huge challenge. And I was thrown to the wolves, you know, trial by fire, because I had no idea what I was doing in sports marketing, to be honest with you. So, but yeah, that's kind of the short story.
Now, obviously, we've had a bunch of individuals on who've talked about kind of like the football mm-hmm. side of the experience with this. You talk about the fact you were behind the eight ball beginning.
Yeah.
But talk about the experience as it kind of played out. Does that make sense? Like in season.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will say Tyler and Rich both came from NBA sales experience. Mm-hmm. So they had the sports background.
Okay.
So and then our director of sponsorship, Jim Braun, also tons of both college mm-hmm. and other sports experience. So I learned a lot from them really, really quickly. And that's great. That's how I do best, honestly. But again, Tyler, I think, had only been hired like a month before me as president. So we were all sort mm-hmm. of just, you know, doing everything at warp speed. So I had to hire my staff, as Michelle said earlier. I had to hire a cinematographer. I had to hire a social media manager. I had to hire Chantel. So she still lives in Salt Lake, too.
Yeah,
so
does.
You can get her on next.
Yeah, I thought about it. It'd be good to see her.
So Chantel, our sports reporter. And then I hadn't even hired this key critical role until very, very late, game presentation manager, basically.
Okay.
So somebody who worked at the stadium for games.
Game ops. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have that person in place, which didn't actually matter because we didn't have our first home game till well into February.
Yeah.
So that one I kind of delayed on, but I got somebody who had previously worked in Green Bay and for the Chiefs as well. So he had the experience at least. So that was great. So yeah, that was just kind of the speed at which we had to operate. I think a lot of things I don't have a ton of insight into because it happened at the Alliance level, like how
sure.
it came about, playing at Rice-Eccles versus the RSL stadium. Like that was a huge debate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that contract got sealed so late in the game. So again, hard to plan a lot of things. Some things that we were up against the wall with, like in terms of what we couldn't do, what other teams could do to build a following, or just enhance the game experience. Obviously, we were the only cold weather team mm-hmm. who was going to play, you know, in the middle of winter, which the powers that be in the Alliance liked the idea of. And,
okay.
you know, we're used to it here.
We are used to it here.
And we're fine
it's
with that.
It's not a huge deal.
Right. But specifically, one of the things, I know, now I'm just dishing dirt here.
Well, it's fine. That's the whole purpose.
That's the whole thing with the whole weather thing. There's a misnomer that they think, like, this is like Green Bay.
It's not. And again, me being from New England,
sure.
my husband is from Green Bay. Like, we kind of laugh when people think it's
winter.
I mean, Buffalo's laughing at you right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it was kind of funny just from that perspective. We definitely were not scared of that. And think about how nice our weather can be in March. Like, we had a March home game. I had shirtless people in the stands getting a sunburn.
Yeah.
So,
yep. We did have that.
We did. So it was kind of crazy from that perspective. But one of the things that was going against us was, of course, at the time was a dry stadium. And not only that, they built in their contract, we could not allow tailgating the way they do it in the lot on the U. So that was a massive blow just in terms of opportunities, because think about there's corporate sponsorship opportunities in that tailgating lot for mm-hmm. Utes games. So that was something we just had to battle, and nothing we could do about it, unfortunately.
Yes. I think that's something that people don't necessarily know a whole lot about this team is a lot of stuff was very, very last minute. I'm pretty sure our colors and our logo were last minute mm-hmm. because when Randy hired me, he said the theme for the AAF is not like live living things. Well, all of a sudden, roll out a pony for and we're the only ones that have a live animal. And I'm like, you just thought of this last minute, didn't you?
No.
Like you had nothing else. You couldn't figure anything else out. And even my job, I was supposed to actually be over PR. That's what mm-hmm. Randy and Dennis hired me for. And the league nixed it. And we didn't have a PR person right. in place until like, I think we were already playing games before yeah. he was hired. And on top of that, Randy and Dennis were pissed. They were so mad that they were overrode on that one that they wouldn't even talk to the guy.
Right.
So it was like I was the buffer between that guy and them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should have said that.
Hold on.
But
this okay. And I'm coming from the media side yeah. who was there trying to get interviews and whatnot.
Yeah.
This explains a lot.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
And to be fair, the head of PR for the league didn't want that person.
Okay.
Oh really? I hadn't heard that. I thought that was their guy. They wanted
somebody
this
else.
Involved. Mystery.
I don't really know.
Yeah. So I mean, it really was. It was a whole thing. But they wanted me because I had worked in media here. I knew mm-hmm. all the media people. And the crazy thing is, our PR guy started blocking and not telling local media when our practices were. There was a point in time when I had Dave Fox texting me, "Hey, when is your guys' practice and where is it?"
Mm-hmm.
And even towards the end, he stopped like letting you guys know
right.
when stuff was.
Yeah.
Our own in-house people, right. he wouldn't let know. When we were doing stuff, it was an absolute mess.
It was tough. It was really, really tough.
Okay, so you talk about trajectory being changed. Uh-huh. Well, here's the thing. You're still here in Utah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, fast forward 5 years. Yeah. Like I said, we were going to move to Portland so my husband could pursue the cider industry. Uh-huh. And 5 years later, or 2 years ago, I opened up a cider bar here in Salt Lake City. So I'm doing something completely different now.
But, yeah. Okay, it's called Scion Cider Bar.
Correct.
I have been scrolling through your guys', let's just put it this way, hearty selection of different ciders. What? Why did you decide to stick around Utah? What about it? Because you said you came here in 2004 and said, "I'm moving here."
Like, yeah. Well, I came to ski and love the outdoor rack.
Okay,
so
fair
like, that's definitely that, why.
And that's a draw for a ton of people. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Although last couple of years I haven't been skiing.
Well, you know,
skied like 2 hours this season.
When you found a business, you're kind of in charge of things. It takes up a lot of time.
Totally.
Yeah.
And yeah. and Visit Utah and Salt Lake. Visit Salt Lake have done such a good job marketing that and. The ski traffic is insane now, mm-hmm. so I'm kind of over that.
It's true. Yep. Try to get up either one of the Cottonwood Canyons or go up to Park City
Correct.
On a Saturday. It's nuts.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, whatever. I still love to try to do things outdoors, but yeah. I mean, like I said, we were going to go up to Portland because that's where like the cider scene is mm-hmm. Primarily, and my husband was going to do that. And when Alliance told us we had the 3 years of runway, we're like, well, better figure it out because we've got to do something else. And yeah. so my husband started a cider distributorship.
Okay.
So he now imports all of the ciders or most of the ciders that we carry at our bar.
Got it.
So I own it. He does not own the bar. He has his own separate company. That's a federal thing, not a Utah thing. I always
so
say
he's
that.
He's the distributor.
He's a distributor.
You're the owner of said establishment.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And I have partners. I have
yeah,
a
sure.
lot of business partners.
But it's nice to have the, like you have the distributorship over here. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and we do use other local small distributors because okay. this particular category of alcohol uh-huh. is not well served by the Utah State Liquor Store. So you have to basically bring it in especially.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of like the Alliance, you know, when I take a risk, I go big, right? Like
yeah.
I didn't know how the Alliance was going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the cider bar. Like when you're kind of have that entrepreneurial spirit or that startup mentality, mm-hmm. you know there's a huge chance of failure. And that's doubly true in the restaurant and bar industry in general. But our bar has the second largest collection of cider in North America. So Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. Right here in our backyard in Utah.
So impressive.
Right. Which would have been cool. Again, bringing back to the Stallions, would have been really cool if we could have stuck that around and grown it here.
Sure.
If we were in a different world. or if we were in the XFL. So we did choose poorly. We should have gone the Vince McMahon XFL route. And that is kind of some of the history, right?
Yeah.
Like the Alliance was trying to race to beat XFL
and
to the punch.
Cut a lot of corners, which is why it did not survive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so with what you're doing here at the Cyan Cider Bar, like how's the response been locally? Like people embracing it? 'Cause obviously you've been doing
great.
Okay, good.
No, I mean, it is good. It's always good, right? I mean, so many struggles, right? You know, to open up a bar or restaurant business post COVID when all the, you know, that was a crazy struggle. So again, like, I'm not afraid of failure or afraid of hard things, I guess, is the lesson there. One of my key business partners and GM, he is a founder of Proper Brewing.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of expertise
yes,
on that side.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he Proper has like a branded Utes can right now, I think. So so yeah. I mean, we've definitely had a great response because what we're doing is so unique in Salt Lake. Obviously people see it too just outside the state, and you know, as marketing person, that's my goal too, to attract, you know, a loyal following of local Salt Lakers, get the word out. I go on media all the time locally for that. I mean, so there's elements that I've brought back because I've made so many local media appearances with the Stallions too. So it's kind of full circle in some ways. I mean, Michelle and I have joked that I pretty much have completed the media circuit.
I think
I personally have to be on 2 News. I got Coach Erickson and some of our guys on Talking Sports, but yeah.
I happen to work with a guy who, you know, may do some things with 2 News and Talking Sports. I produce DJ and PK every day.
Right.
David
That's
J.
true.
So,
That's true. Yeah.
I can put a good one with David and see what we can do here.
Well, I mean, I have to be on like the daytime show, and I've done the daytime show and talk about food and wine
and how
that goes together. But yeah, I mean, it's been a fun ride, you know, and having been through the startup world where others are in control, at least as an owner, you get to control your destiny, which
have your hands on the wheel.
Yeah. So I feel like I have so much PTSD from from some of these experiences in other people's startups and dreams that if I'm going to fail, it's got to be on my terms, right?
Totally. Totally. So before you came on, I told Jake that you and I connected off of a love of red wine and gangster rap.
Yes.
Like, what is your like memory or core memory of doing this whole weird thing?
Well, one, I have to make a title edit as the editor in me can't. It should be Stilettos, Gangster Rap.
That is right.
The
yes,
title of
there,
Michelle's
there was
forthcoming book.
That's an even better memoir title. I like
I know,
this.
I told
well
you.
Done.
I
well
to,
done.
Yes. I
See,
have
we
to.
Bring in a marketing expert. She's going to one up it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yes, aside from that time that we bonded, and to be fair, that's going back, we bonded when we were in San Antonio because you had to live there for a ridiculous amount of weeks.
I lived with hundreds of guys, and I was basically the only woman there.
Well, and my
two
girls. Yeah, and the two girls
on
my team.
But they were also in and out.
True, true.
So it's just like sometimes they were there, sometimes they were not there.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, and I only got to spend the first week of training camp down in San Antonio and then a couple days later in the month. So that's when Michelle and I kind of hung out at the hotel bar, and it started from there. But I think your question is more like, what's my biggest memory or like my takeaway, really, right?
From you know, being with the Stallions.
And the beautiful thing about obviously what I do in digital media is just that it can live on. So I think one of the things I am most proud of producing, like as my role in terms of directing my content team, I was lucky to be there that week, that it was going to be announced that Dennis Erickson was going to be inducted into the College Hall of Fame, and then Troy Polamalu as well. So we got to see him there during that week when that was announced. But my team basically secretly recorded all the other coaches.
That was incredible.
To get their thoughts on working with Coachy and you know what they meant to him. And you can watch this on YouTube. It's on the AAF Stallions YouTube channel. And it's emotional,
it
right?
Is.
And it's beautiful. And it's just such a great tribute to the camaraderie that obviously all football teams and have at some point, you know, if they're lucky to catch that and have a great coach and a great coaching staff. So I just love it. And I'm super proud of that piece in particular.
Well, and I guess the last thing I've got for you is through all of these interviews so far, and we got plenty more to go, because trust me, Michelle's got her tentacles everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Talking to all these people, and I love it. It's awesome, because I was coming from the media side of things, is that every one of these interviews have come back to, I think, a singular point. Y'all bonded mm-hmm. from this experience, and it went down in flames. Like, yeah. It's unfortunate the way it went down, obviously, but it all of you who were involved in it have a connection now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part about it. 5 years later, it still exists.
Yeah. And we check in with each other from time to time. I mean, Rich has talked about getting the gang back together to celebrate. And guess where that's going to be? Probably a Stallions party at Scion Center Park.
Yep.
So,
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Let's
so,
go.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen.
My last thing that I feel like we need to bring up before we let you go. You have to tell the story about our pretty pony.
Oh.
I have not heard this story, so I'm excited.
Yes. And just minor correction, the Commanders also had a horse on their field.
Did
the
they?
San Antonio
I don't
Commanders.
Remember that.
They did. Unfortunately, because things were happening so last minute for us, we didn't have ours for our first home game, but she was committed to the four remaining home games. But so Renee Kelly was a former Miss Utah Rodeo, and I found Striker.
Okay.
But as you know, Rich likes to call him Galaxy, but his name was Striker the Stallion. That's his real name. And yeah, she was great, and she, you know, worked with us to lead the team out onto the field. And that, again, fun piece of production with that. So it's a great time.
I just love the argument with Charlie over where the funds should go, and he wanted that horse so bad.
Right. And so he did want
I don't
the horse.
Care if you have fans in the stands or if anyone knows you exist, that pony will be there.
Yes.
Hey, you know, he did
and
what you gotta do.
As far as I know, I'm pretty sure she got paid. I think the university took care of her.
Okay, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So to end on a high note.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, it's awesome to have you in.
Like, thank
you. I'm telling you, your cider bar, like, you can go through that menu, and you've got, and I call it a menu, but it's just a selection list, and it is expansive. So essentially, anybody who wants to try the cider scene,
universe,
whatever,
yeah.
You guys are the place to go, it seems like. You said the second largest
in North America.
North America.
Yeah, and we do all sorts of, like, educational.
Who's number one, by the way? Where's number one?
It's in Seattle, so
okay,
not
all right.
surprising.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to go to Portland, so the Northwest.
Yeah,
okay.
Northwest, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that makes a lot of sense. Cider, a lot of it connect with apples, and hey, the apple, like, so. Anyways. But
no, you're right.
It's good to have you in, and we wish you nothing but the best, and we'll have to do this again soon, all right?
Definitely. There's so much more to say.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, guys.